Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our special guests.
Good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hello, everybody. Aren't you glad we're together? Hallelujah. God loves you completely. I tell you, I really, really, really love the lyrics of those songs we sang tonight. The majestic love of the Father for you is just phenomenal. And so tonight you're going to experience the grace of God, the love of God in a deep, wonderful, personal way. And it's going to set you up for the balance of your week. So I'm just so glad you're here. Let's just lift our hands to heaven one more time. And let's just say thank you. Father, we just take a moment and say thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for filling us with yourself. Thank you that we're redeemed. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for the living word. Thank you for the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. Thank you for what you're doing in this place, in this space, Father, for the whole Inland Empire and all over the world. We thank you for the word tonight in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Go ahead, be seated. Praise the Lord. And Heidi and I just want to give a big hearty appreciation to your senior pastors, Pastor Dan, Pastor Jessica. What great leaders God has given you, and we just love what the Lord's doing in and through them and their friendship with us, and of course your founding pastors as well, all the years that I've been connected with the Rock. I just love what God is doing here, and a lot of the life expressions that I have in the nations of the world, it was the people of the Rock really that saw something in me and helped draw it out of me. So a lot of the manifestation of missions and ministry that we're continuing to do around the world is because you're planted in this place. So thank you for being planted in the local church. Thank you for your generosity to your local church, because the generosity of God's saints gives you this phenomenal campus, gives you the phenomenal ministry to help so many people in the Inland Empire, but also gives expressions through people like Heidi and I and the teams of Mutual Faith around the world. So thank you for your kindness and generosity to the local church. What I'm going to do tonight is put something in your heart to make you happy. I tell you what, the gospel is such good news, it's astonishing. It takes faith to believe it. And you're going to find tonight the thrill of the gospel, but you're going to have to swallow it. You're going to have to believe the gospel because it's really that good. But before I teach the word just a little bit tonight, I want to give you a little video report about some mission work around the world that we've been doing, and it might encourage you, because this is really an expression of your love in your life through the nations just because you're planted here at the Rock. Let's watch this. Hello, friends. My name is Keith Hershey. This year celebrates the 35th year of Mutual Faith. It's hard to believe. Heidi and I moved back to America in 1984 and founded this mission organization. And to see the fruit of this ministry is astounding. Many times people have asked me, what motivates me in life and ministry? And I found, like the Apostle Paul, that the love of Christ compels me, because I've made a judgment. I've made a calculation in the revelation that if one died, all were included. You and me and everyone everywhere, we were included in Jesus' death, burial, and risenness. We have to believe it and receive it and understand the new life we have in Him. So much has happened because we've joined our faith together in Mutual Faith Ministries. In fact, in Africa, we've had campuses throughout West African nations, building churches, establishing mission centers, and helping people in some very painful places. In Latin America, we built a life home in Guatemala. We've established Bible schools throughout this entire region and trained hundreds and thousands of leaders in this whole Latin America region. In Asia, we've built a life home in India. We've built recently life homes in the Philippines and built so many churches in this region of the world. And we're thankful for all of it. And then, of course, in the Middle East, at the Middle East Life Center in Beirut, Lebanon, we've helped thousands and thousands of Syrian refugees and preached the gospel in this Muslim area. And so many people are excited about the love of the Father. And then, of course, in the United States, Life Center USA is being a reflective campus of the Father's love. And we are so grateful. We want you to continue to be compelled with us today with all the challenges and pain and heartache that people have all over the world. It's the love of Christ that compels us. So thanks for being our friends and partners in ministry as we continue to build churches, build life homes. God is doing great things even now. The first 35 years have been phenomenal, but we're so excited for the future. Thanks for joining your faith with us. And don't forget, God loves you completely, and we do too. All right. Praise the Lord. So indeed, that's a little about what you've been up to. So again, thank you very much for being planted in this place. You know, I think of the 35 years of Mutual Faith. I actually went into ministry 5 years prior to that. I worked with another African organization. I started ministry in September 1979. So think of it, 40 years I've been just preaching the gospel and living by preaching the gospel around the world, and the Father has been so faithful to me. But sometimes people ask me now that I have gray hair and, you know, get a little older and these kind of things. People say, Keith, what compels you? What motivates you to keep going in ministry? Aren't you discouraged with the culture? Aren't you discouraged with the world? Aren't you discouraged with all the political chaos everywhere? What motivates you to carry on? And it's always a good question, because this is where I find people live with great, great disappointment, even in the local church. What compels you to come to church? What compels you to be faithful in the local church? What compels you to be faithful in your family? Be faithful to your spouse. Be faithful to your kids. What motivates you in life and ministry? I find a lot of disappointment in so many people who are Jesus followers. They're believers in Jesus, and they live with such deep, deep, deep disappointment in themselves, because of themselves. And so I want to share some things with you tonight, just for a few minutes. I'm not going to preach long, but I'm going to put something in your heart to make you happy. I want to show you how to stay motivated, how to stay compelled in your personal life, and for the assignments God has for you and the dreams that you carry. Your life is so significant. It's so important. And sometimes we have to join our faith. We have to come together in a church fellowship, in a church community, so what's in us can be stewarded properly and manifested through us with great displays of God's goodness and glory. So I just want to share a few things with you. You can follow along in the scriptures in your own Bible or your digital Bible. I still have the old physical Bible. I'm not quite as smart as these young, wonderful gospel preachers with all the technology. I still carry a physical Bible. But just follow along, because the key is, let the word settle in your system. Let it be deeply planted in your spirit, because that's what motivates you and moves you, and that's where faith becomes evident in your life, when you carry something. And I believe that what you're going to hear tonight is going to settle deep in your spirit, and it's going to move you. It's going to carry you, and it's something you're going to be able to articulate and talk about. It's going to grip you and grab you and hold you. And this is the beauty of the love of the Father. This is the beauty of the gospel, when it gets you, when it grabs you, when it holds you, when it becomes part and parcel of really who you are. So go with me in your Bible, if you would please, to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Here's what the Bible says. Thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift. Now, this verse in context, if you read the whole chapter, is talking about believers who helped another group of believers who had trouble. And so they gave an offering. And so it was a gift one believing community gave to another. And it's an indescribable gift. I'm sure if somebody had mercy on you and helped you in a time of need, it's like indescribable, the type of beauty and intervention of somebody's love to stand in the gap for you. It's beautiful. But I want to use this verse in another dimension. Thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift. I want to talk about the Father gifting you Jesus. See, God so loved the world, he gave Jesus. The gospel is all about gift. The gospel has nothing to do with merit. The gospel has nothing to do with you fixing yourself up. The gospel has nothing to do with you qualifying. The gospel technically has nothing to do with your morals. The gospel has to do with the gift of the Lamb. The love of the Lamb God has gifted you, and we say thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. In other words, what God has done for you in Christ, there's no human language to fully articulate the beauty of the Lamb. It captures you. You can't fully describe the beauty of what Jesus has done. You can't package it religiously. It is a gift that changes everything about you and the way you know yourself. It changes the way you know who God is. It's the way it changes your view on the way you know yourself before God. It's all based on gift. The gospel is the gospel of gift. It has nothing to do with you trying to fix yourself up. It has to do with you receiving divine life and a new nature and living out the Christ life. So this is what I want to talk to you a little bit about, because this is what really has motivated me in this season of my life. You know, I'm not as old as Pastor Jim, thank God, hallelujah. But you know, I think of transitions in people's lives. I was telling your senior pastor, Pastor Dan, tonight, I'm so thankful for the people in my life. I just turned 62, and I know I don't look a day over 64, but I turned 62. And I think of the people God brought into my little world. You know, 35 years ago, when I moved back to America, broke from Africa, absolutely broke. I bought an old car for $3,600, and I drove around America for 6 months. And I said, God, let people see that I carry something. And you know what? God put old people in my life, like Jim Colbrey, and other people like that, you know? They were older than me, but they came alongside of me and brought out of me what was in me. All my wonderful friends, many of them now have gone on to be with the Lord, people much older than, you know, in their 80s, 90s, whatever. But God brings people into your life to show you the beauty of who He is in you, so you can draw fully from His life and manifest His goodness everywhere. Let me explain something about the gift. This is a little cardboard box. It's a little shipping box. You know, this represents your life in the flesh, your human life. This is the life of Keith Hershey according to the flesh, according to the box. You know, the box, you know, everybody ships stuff now. You know, my wife just had a double knee replacement surgery about a year ago. So I was her nurse. I took off from traveling in the ministry. I became the head nurse. I was fired every day. But she had no other option. She had to rehire me. She really loves me. Hallelujah. And I did a good job. But anyway, you know, our humanness goes through shipping. What Heidi did when she was recovering is she got addicted to ordering groceries online, food online, Amazon, all the nonsense you can buy through Amazon, right? All this stuff. So every time I'd come home from my office, I'd see boxes on her front steps. And I had a thought or two, like maybe Heidi bought me something. That was wishful thinking. She never bought me nothing. You know, she buys the grandkids and everything. But boxes, they go from one point to another point, and to get to a destination, they get beat up. They get marked. In your life, you've been marked. You've been bruised. You've been beat up. You've been taken advantage. You went to a wrong destination. Somebody mislabeled you. In fact, your box has been labeled. Through the years, your daddy called you something. Your mama called you something. Your uncle said something. Your ex-boyfriend, your third wife, whatever. Somebody said something about you, right? And it's labeled you. And see, most people only know themselves according to themselves. So they live with disappointment. They live with shame. They have resentment. They're always thinking, how can I fix the past? They're always concerned about fixing themselves up to feel comfortable before God. But I've got good news for you. It's called the gospel of the gift. The gift of Jesus. God gifted Jesus. Jesus said to the woman at the well, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who's speaking to you, the gift who's speaking, you would ask of the gift, and the gift would give you everything you ever need. But see, most people only know themselves according to themselves. No wonder they're depressed. No wonder they want to call it quits. No wonder they don't want to go to church. No wonder they don't want to tell anybody about Jesus, because they're miserable in and of themselves. But the gift changes your perspective. The gift wraps you. When you put your faith in Jesus, the gift wraps you. You are gift wrapped. You're the same person according to the flesh, but not now. You're known according to Christ. See, God doesn't know you according to your flesh. God knows you according to Christ. Huh? Do you know what? Jesus is God's opinion of you. If you could believe that Jesus is your righteousness, you don't have self-righteousness. Self-righteousness, even with morals, gets you nothing with God. Self-righteousness is a stench. There is no good thing, the scripture says, in the new covenant. There is no good thing in the flesh. I've tried. There's no good thing in the flesh of Keith Hershey. But when Keith Hershey is astonished by the love of the Lamb, the difference between a flesh life and a gift life is called faith. What you believe. How you choose to live. So Jesus, the gift, wraps you. You are gift wrapped. And this isn't the kind of wrapping that you can rip off because you were naughty. This is kind of like the gifting that's shrunk wrapped. You know, Heidi, she gets these like toys for the grandkids. And, you know, there was one a few months ago. And we pulled it out of the box. And it's like in this thick plastic covering. And I had to go to the garage and get some tin snips. Because you couldn't cut the, your scissors couldn't cut. It was thick wrapping. It was clear. But I had to, and then you rip it apart and you got a little plastic toy in the you know. They sent a plastic toy that was like encased in this thick plastic. This is what God does for you. God in Christ gift wraps you inside and outside. The Bible says you become one spirit with the Lord. And this is the beauty of believing. This is the beauty of the love of the Lamb. This is why I love the lyrics of your songs tonight. Those last two songs, I've never heard them before. I loved them because it was about the astonishing love of God that you can become addicted to. This is the way you live being loved. This is the way you live just trying to love on your own. You'll have a flesh failure. But this is the way to be loved. This is why in our mission ministry, these last 35 years, I take my time teaching people how to be loved. People say, you don't teach people how to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, strength. Well, not really. I teach people how to be loved by God. And the corresponding action to that, they'll love God in return. You know, we love Him because He first loved us. So if you can teach people how to be loved, that God accepts you as you are, with all your labels, all your brokenness, all your failure, all your nonsense. And this is the way He sees you. See, can you believe it? Can you believe it? It takes faith to believe the beauty of the gospel. But this is why I love to just be thankful. Thanks be unto God for His indescribable gift. Something that's indescribable, there's not human language to fully say what it's about. So let me try. I'm going to use some illustrations tonight, and I'm going to talk about the difference that I struggle with. This gospel preacher struggles every day of my life. Every day of my life. I struggle between having a flesh life, living apart from the faith reality of what God says about me, to the gift wrap life. Your struggle in life is going to determine what you're going to, even as a born-again Christian, you're either going to live according to the flesh life, and this is going to be the truth of you, or this is going to be the truth of you. So you've got to renew your mind to the beauty of the Lamb. But let me give you a couple little illustrations. That way you won't think I'm picking on you. I'm picking on me, okay? But I'll show you my personal struggle and pain, how to stay motivated and compelled for ministry, for marriage, for raising kids, for raising grandkids, for still doing this. You know, sometimes I tell Heidi, I say, Heidi, man, if I would have like got a job at the post office or something, man, I'd have a pension. You know, I could retire. But see, I'm so addicted to the love of the Father that I'm compelled to do what God called me to do and live the way God wants me to live. And so can you. And this is the beauty of the love of the Lamb. Let me explain what I mean about being compelled by the love of God. Go with me in your Bible to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. Here's what the scripture says. For the love of Christ compels us. Now let's pause for a moment. Paul the Apostle's writing believers in a town called Corinth, and he makes this astonishing statement. How does he find his momentum? How does he find his motivation? What keeps him going through all the pressure and pain and Paul had headache and heartache. He was stoned, you know, left for dead. All kinds of problems. You and I think we got problems. This brother had some challenges. But what compels him to march on? He said the love of Christ compels him. Notice what it does not say. It doesn't say my love for Christ compels me. The difference between being compelled in life, trying to love God, versus being compelled, letting God love you, is night and day. And this is why each day of my life, I take time to be loved. I let God love me. I announce to myself, because nobody else will, so I preach it to myself. I'll look in the mirror and say, listen, Keith Hershey, God loves you completely. There's no disappointment in the Father concerning you. God doesn't know you according to the flesh. He knows you according to Christ, so live accordingly. You have to tell yourself the truth. You have to preach about the beauty of the gift and what the gift has done. This love God has for you, which those song lyrics talked about with astonishing words, this gift that God has given you, it moves you. It motivates you. Now, how can you believe that God loves you completely? How can you believe that your sins are forgiven? And how can you believe that your sins are forgotten? I mean, really, really, how can your mind go there because you're so well acquainted with yourself because of yourself? Oh, you know everything. You know, if you live according to the flesh, you'll judge yourself. And then when you're judging yourself, you become very quick judging others. You know, most labels people have on themselves, they put there themselves. People call themselves idiots. I'll never amount to anything. I can never do anything right. I can't think very good. I'll never get a good job. Don't go there. Don't live your life according to the flesh. Live your life according to Christ and speak what God says about you. This is really the beauty and the strength of what God's love can do for you. So again, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ compels us. Why? Because we judge this. You know, judgment just means you make a decision. Judgment doesn't have to be negative. Most Christian people think judgment's negative. Like God's going to get you. No, not the believer. You're in Christ. You're redeemed. Your sins have been judged on Calvary's cross. You have a favorable judgment with the Father. And see, this is astonishing, but this is the love of the Lamb. We judge this. We make a decision. What's the calculation? The calculation is the revelation of Jesus. We judge thus, that if one died, who's the one? Say his name, Jesus. Say his name, Jesus. Hallelujah. That if one died, all died. Now think about this. This is what compelled the Apostle Paul. This is how he knew and believed that God loved him completely. He made a judgment that when Jesus died on Calvary's cross, when one died, all died. Now think of that. I don't even know how to explain that. But the faith of God, according to this and other passages in the New Testament, when Jesus died on Calvary's cross, God saw you in him then. Let me say that again. God saw you in him then at the cross. That's a deep mystery. That's the mystery of the love of Christ. Paul said it this way, I have been crucified with Christ. In him then. Yet I live, but not I. But Christ lives in me. In the life I now live, it's a gift wrap life, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's Galatians 2:20. I quoted it. Here's the beauty of the love of the Lamb. God saw you in Jesus at Calvary's cross. You were crucified with him. You died with him. You were buried with him. You were raised with him. You ascended with him. And you're seated with him. People say, Keith, can you explain that to me? No, I can't. It's astonishing love. It's indescribable gift. But I believe it. I can't explain it to you, but your senior pastor can. I'm leaving town tomorrow for England, and he can explain all this stuff to you. Hallelujah. I'm out of here. Huh? No, but see, this is the beauty of God's love. This is the strength. God saw you in him then. That motivates me. I believe every day I choose to be gift wrapped. The truth of me is Jesus. Jesus is my righteousness. I have no self-righteousness. None. A flesh life is always looking for resumes. A Jesus life, trust the Lamb alone. I'm gift wrapped. Jesus is my righteousness. Jesus is my wisdom. Talk about problems in my life. They're this high. I can't see the top of them half the time. It's depressing. When Keith Hershey tries to solve problems according to the flesh, I get irritated. I get mean. None of you are like me, though. That's why I like you all so much. You're such spiritual giants here at The Rock. Hallelujah. But Keith Hershey struggles. I struggle. Every day, I have to decide I'm gift-wrapped. I'm having a spirit-filled life. See, this is a flesh life. Paul says it this way, the works of the flesh. Your natural life, your flesh life, only works. And it produces things that are nasty and naughty. There's a whole list of them in Galatians 5. You can read them. The works of the flesh. But this is not a work life. This is a life of rest and peace. The gospel of grace, the gospel of peace. You rest and it's a fruit life. The fruit of the spirit life, the fruit of the spiritual life, the fruit of the gift wrap person is the love of the Father, is the joy of the Father, is the peace of the Father. It's everything you ever need. But you have to make a decision to be compelled by the love of Christ. Let me explain a few things in the Bible real quick about some of the things that Jesus asks us to be compelled about. Let's see how you don't have to answer out loud, just in your own heart. And I'll tell you stories about me. Number one, real quick, being compelled to go the extra mile. Being compelled to go the extra mile. Matthew 5:41 says this, whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. When Keith Hershey lives according to the flesh, I say, what a bummer. I don't even like to go the first mile with most people, let alone the second. And I'm not talking about people I don't know. I'm talking about family. You know, I come from a long line in the genealogy, natural genealogy of the Hersheys. You know, it's not anything to write home about. It's challenged. It's very broken. And you know who's called to go the first mile with folk? The preacher, because he's so nice. He's so compassionate. He moves with such mercy. But if Keith Hershey lives according to the flesh, I don't want to help nobody. And I'm in the ministry. So I got to guard my heart and I've got to stay loved. What I do throughout my day is I take time to be loved. I think being loved by the Father is the prerequisite for everything in life. Being loved by the Father. This is the only place faith functions. Faith works by being loved. I tell a lot of people who know the Bible backward and forward, they quote this, they quote that, they confess this, confess that. I say, you don't have a faith problem, you got a love problem. You're trying to do everything according to your capacity and all your little rules and regulations and stuff and demands and twist God's arm. Why don't you just take time to be loved? Faith is ever present in Christ. You don't have to look for nothing. You don't have to chase anything. This is why being astonished with the death and the risenness of Jesus, what Paul said he proclaimed, he preached it. Jesus Christ, him crucified. I was in him then. You got to be kidding me. I love it. Can you explain it? Nope. But I can believe it. Hallelujah. And I believe what God has done in Christ has transformed me, and now I have His nature, His life, His ability, His sufficiency. Give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Amen. It's good news. So whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go 2. I was thinking about coming to church on a Wednesday night. I mean, who in the natural mind, according to the flesh, wants to come to church on Wednesday night? How many of you fight? Oh, dear Lord, the 10 freeway, the this free. You know what? None of you are like that. That's why I like you so much. But think about some of the beautiful people in our campuses around the world. Let me show you a couple mission pictures. These people, you know, we plant churches in different islands in the Philippines. This is the way you go to church, over the river and through the woods, you know. I would go the first Sunday, but I wouldn't go the second. See, in life, when you're set in a church, you got to decide, are you compelled by being gift-wrapped to be present? Where your life becomes the ministry expression to others around you. Where your hug, your love, your whatever, your presence is so important, so powerful. And this is why through the years of ministry, when I've wanted to quit, and all these years of ministry, my goodness, I've wanted to quit many, many times. But you know, God's always protected me and preserved me because I've learned to be loved. And I'm more excited today than I've ever been. And it's not because of me. It's not because I prayed harder. Not because I did more. Because I just learned to be loved. I learned to believe that the gospel of the gift needs to be announced. If I can teach you not to see yourself according to the flesh, but to see you according to Christ, every part of your world will change. If I can believe that this is God's truth concerning you, and God does not know you according to your labels or the bumps and bruises or the sin in your life. He knows you according to the Lamb. Give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. That's the way He knows you. So this is the news I announce. If it's Muslims, when I'm in our conference, you know, every year in our campus in Beirut, you know, Beirut's just gone through hell the last like 2-3 weeks. All the riots, chaos, confusion, demonstrations, millions of people. But you know, when I'm there, I don't preach to people according to the flesh. I don't preach to people according to their label. I don't preach to people according to their sin. I preach to people according to Christ. I preach the gift. I preach Christ. I let people know this is the truth concerning you if you just swallow it. If you just believe it and begin to see yourself the way God sees you. I'll tell you, put a smile on your face. It'll take every bit of fear out of your heart. It'll take every bit of depression out of your soul. And you won't be so hard-headed. Because you know why? Thankfulness to an indescribable gift makes you tender. And a tender-hearted person. Will always have heaven's help. Always. Let me show you another picture real quick. We have any other little mission pictures? This is Bible school students, unreached people. You know how many Bible schools I want to start? None. I don't want to help nobody. I've got long list of accolades. Oh, I could promote them and announce them. Keith Hershey, according to the flesh, doesn't want to help nobody. Keith Hershey, according to the flesh, doesn't even want to go to his own meetings. But Keith Hershey, according to Christ, I want to help everybody. I want to teach everybody. I want to go to every service. It's a beautiful thing. Let's look real quick. Number two, compelled to give extra. Isn't that a bummer? You know, this guy, Keith Hershey in the flesh, I don't like to give. I'm a tightwad. I'm stingy. Larry Reynolds, we're having dinner tonight with your pastor, and Larry's over there lying about me and how stingy I am. Because he was knowing Keith Hershey according to the flesh, he was joking about when we'd gone out to dinner through the 30 years I've known Larry Reynolds. But the beautiful thing is, when Keith Hershey is gift-wrapped, I'm the most generous guy I know. I'm almost as generous as Jim Cobray. Not quite. Almost. But I find if I stay loved, this guy's always budget-minded. This guy lives according to the assignment. I find myself very, very generous. Look at the Bible says, Jesus said, Luke 6:29, from him who takes away your coat, do not withhold your tunic either. What a bummer. So you know what I found? Staying loved. I'm just like the Rock Church. With all the generosity, the thousands and thousands and thousands of families you help every year here. Because you're here and you sow generously to the offering of the local church. You're generous. Look at this. Let's go to a little pictures real quick. Some of these, this is what we do overseas, you know, at our center with all the, I've fed and clothed so many Muslim people. This guy didn't want to do none of it. This guy will do all of it. This, we rent apartments for people, $600 a month for Muslim families. I mean, they're not even born again. 600, you get a room like that and then another room. That's the Muslim lady. Let's go back if we can. That's the Muslim lady there, you know. She says to me, she's the greeter in the church. You know, the life centers, it seats 700 people, so for all our events, concerts. She's back there, a Muslim lady, all. And you're not supposed to touch a Muslim woman. So I was, you know, sometimes in America, I give people hugs. Hey, how you doing? High five, whatever. But over there, I don't touch nobody. You know, hey, nice to meet you. God bless you. Glad you're here. But this woman, she attacks me. She attacks the preacher. She grabs me. She hugs me. She says, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm so glad for the Syrian war. I said, why? She said, we lost everything. I said, why are you happy? Because I'm a refugee and I found the Life Center. And at the Life Center, I found Jesus. And all my family's born again. Your generosity will bring unspeakable blessing in the mouths of others toward the Father. Let's go to a couple of pictures real quick. You know, this is our school in Nigeria. This guy didn't want to help none of those kids. This guy helps them all. I don't want to pay everybody's bills. I can hardly pay my own. Have you ever had that thought? That's a sign you need to be loved. Aren't you glad I'm preaching good tonight? See, anytime you come to church, oh, I can't give this month. I can't give my tithe or I can't give an offering. I can't be generous. Well, you better just lift your hands to the Lord. Count your blessings. Let God love you. And tell yourself the truth that the gift has wrapped you. You are gift wrapped. Don't know yourself according to the flesh because you're stingy. Know yourself according to Christ and you have generosity. Let's look at another. This is, oh yeah, orphans. You know, this happened like 8 weeks ago. This is an ISIS cell in Mindanao, Muslim area. This is where our orphanage is. I'm going to be there and dedicate a new campus in December. But, you know, the military and the police came and raided this ISIS cell. The dad was killed. The mama was captured. And they had two kids. You know where they brought the two ISIS kids? To our home. To our life home for super kids. It's a life home for super kids. Why? Because they're gift wrapped kids. Kids will learn the love of the Lamb. So, you know, these two kids, ISIS kids, come to us. This guy didn't want to take them. Because it wasn't for a sleepover. It's like forever. It's till they're 18. So what I have to do is I have to stay loved. And when I loved, I want to take everybody. I want to take everybody. And so do you. Because that's the Christ life. When you're grumpy in the flesh, you need to be loved. When I first preached this message, Heidi would then tell me periodically, Keith, you need to just go and be loved. You need to go let God love you because you're grumpy. Listen to the words of your mouth about the ministry and this and that person and this. You better go be loved. I say, Heidi, you mind your own business. No, I don't do that. I say, Heidi, praise God. But see, all of us need people in our lives to encourage us. You know why? Because you got to be compelled to go the distance. I got to be compelled to go the distance. Pastor Dan needs to be compelled to go the distance. Everybody in this place has life assignments, and we need to motivate one another and tell people the truth. This is who you are in Jesus. Let me show you one other thing real quick, then I'm going to be done. Compelled to feed the hungry. This guy says, what a bummer. Look at Jesus says in Matthew 5:44. But I say to you, Jesus said, but I say to you, love your enemies. What a bummer. This guy doesn't want to love his enemies. He didn't want to love people he knows. Keith Hershey in the flesh doesn't have no capacity to do anything well. There's no good thing in me. But faith put me here. And Keith Hershey can love his enemies. Look at this. It says, bless those who curse you. How would you like to have an enemy just come up and curse you, call you names, call your mama names, and you say, man, that was awesome. Could we go have lunch? That was fantastic. You know, we live in a world now that's pretty mean, huh? Pretty vicious. Cultures are vicious. People are vicious. People are at each other's throats, you know, all over the world. This relates to us. Do good to those who hate you. What? Do good to those who hate you. This guy can never do it. You know what Keith Hershey in the flesh will do? He'll retaliate. Keith Hershey in the flesh will want the last word. Listen, if you're talking to your spouse and you always want the last word, you better learn to be loved. I'm preaching better than you're shouting, hallelujah, huh? It says, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. This guy can't pray for nothing. This guy being loved, I asked the Father to swallow him up, to visit people with the majestic beauty of the gift that God in Christ at the cross saw me in him then. That was the faith of God. All I'm doing is agreeing with the faith of God. My faith is the faith of God. This is the beauty of Jesus. God is working in you. Don't live another day of your life disappointed with yourself according to yourself. Amen? You are gift wrapped. And this is the beauty of you. And this is why you should be faithful in your church attendance. You should be faithful in your family, faithful in every part of the assignments God's given you, because he's equipping you with himself. Did you like the word tonight? Give the Lord a shout. Amen? Praise the Lord!
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.